This podcast is brought to you by the Specialty Produce Network.
Welcome, everyone, to Center for Conscious Kids. We are here today in the Specialty Produce Network Podcasting Center. And I am here today. I am Ashley Lee, founder of Center for Conscious Kids. And I'm here with my team, Travis and Pete. Welcome.
Hey,
hey. Hey, 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 back.
Today, our focus is, it's really deep, but it doesn't have to be. That's what we're going to move into.
Bum, bum, bum.
I got my boots on.
All right, cool. We're going to talk about accessing our unconscious thoughts and feelings and why they're important, what is important about that to develop what our heart's desires are.
Totally.
So what is a heart's desire? What does that mean to you, gentlemen?
That's the learning process that I think I'm in right now. So it's like the difference between listening to the brain and listening to the heart.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I like it.
For me, it's that feeling instead of that thought. I don't know. It's like that middle heart chakra right there.
Yeah.
It's that warm, sometimes good, but also that achy, sometimes bad feeling.
Okay. Achy. I love it. Okay. So let's work on that. Let's access that just a teeny bit about what achiness is. So achiness is another form of a pain or a symptom or something that you don't desire. Right? We don't desire aches and pains in our bodies.
No, ma'am, Pam.
Yeah, so many times what we do is we can recognize that sometimes when it comes from the heart like that, we can manifest physical symptoms in our body, but that may not be related to a physical issue. It could be related to a mental, emotional, or even spiritual issue. And spiritual issue, I mean like life purpose, what you want to do in your life. What am I here for? You know, everybody asks that, and all throughout their ages of their lifespan, of what am I here for? What do I want to do? So that's what I mean in that respect to a spiritual issue. So with that little knock, could we explore just a little bit about what that achiness might be around your heart?
Absolutely.
The first thought that comes to mind is the absence of joy.
Wow.
Which for me, I consider that the heart, that's, there's a beacon there that's always flashing.
Right.
And when I am going towards what brings me joy, there's an absence of achy.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the question, why are we here? What's my life purpose? The deeper question, which actually is almost the more shallow question, is what brings me joy?
Yes.
Go do that.
Yes.
And so that's where,
right,
as Travis mentioned, we're on this journey of deciphering that, if that's the correct word, what brings me joy.
Yeah, I like that. So that's driving some of your experience, right? What brings you joy? And you're seeking those aspects to bring you joy. But let's say you keep going down that path of what brings me joy. I'm moving in that direction. That direction drives my experience. But what happens when sometimes in our lives, you keep hitting roadblocks? So you're seeking joy, you're doing something, it brings you joy, and then you hit a roadblock, and then you hit another roadblock, and then you hit another roadblock. What are those aspects? Those are the achy aspects, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those achy aspects are what we call unconscious thoughts and feelings that are driving or bringing into your experience that you may be unaware of. That's why we call them unconscious, right? Because conscious is awareness, and unconscious is unawareness. So we have a part of us, our experiences, that create, that have been suppressed or that have been coped, because that didn't feel good, right, to talk about that or to look at that or to work with that. So it doesn't necessarily have to be that difficult to access unconscious thoughts and the feelings.
I think something that we've also kind of figured out is that unconscious feelings that you were talking about that hits those roadblocks are also moments where you're either in the past or future. You're not present. You're not completely present.
Absolutely.
Because if you were present, it's that past and the future that you're thinking of that just makes you stop. You know, if you just like deep down and connect with yourself and get present and get conscious.
Right.
Then which that we like to call ego.
Ego. Yeah. Letting ego.
So sometimes our ego, what does our ego do? It functions as a survival mechanism to keep us alive. But we've been advancing as a human race, haven't we? And we, a lot of us in the world, have overcome survival in the next moment. Like, where is my next meal going to come from? For a lot of people, it's still there too. And we want to create that. We want to create a loving and supportive environment for them as well that are struggling with survival. But many of us also have transcended that and are not worried about the next, where the next meal is going to come from, how we're going to get a roof over our head and things. So we've moved the mental, the ego into the mental mind. And how are we going to survive that thought? How are we going to survive that next situation with that next person we had an altercation with or a negative experience with? So our ego kind of plays with us in those areas of our mental and emotional aspects of our lives.
Yes, and the response generally is hide, run away, don't talk about it.
Right. Nope.
Right. And when we do that, what is that called?
Nope.
Right. A coping mechanism.
Coping.
Heck no. That's what I call my heck no, heck nope.
And when we cope, is coping mechanisms bad or good?
They can serve either purpose.
And really, a lot of people look at it as necessarily bad, but what if that's just a part of us, our ego, that went into survival? We wanted to survive that mental thought or that mental activity. And so what happens is we want to move the ego out a little bit, say it's okay, we're going to survive this. But that past thought pattern, that past situation that happened in the past, like you were talking about, Travis, in being in the past, is we judge how we're going to do in present moment or in the future related to our past experiences. And many times those past experiences may not have been so positive. So we may spend a lot of time avoiding those next experiences because the past was bad. But what if the past was bad or unfavorable because we didn't know how to handle it? Or the person we were working with didn't know how to handle it? What if it was as simple as that? What if you've made a transition in your life where you can handle it now, but you didn't know yet? Or the other person? So you can have a completely different outcome of the same or similar situation now that things are different and that you've because you've been working on and doing, becoming more conscious, more aware of your life and those different aspects in your life.
And that is where the door to the unconscious side lies, is oftentimes in those coping, well, I survived that, but I don't like how I survived it.
Right.
Why?
Right.
And, you know, one of the most beautiful things you just mentioned was realizing that in an unfavorable part of my life, I simply did the best I could with what I had.
You sure
and
did.
And that's the beginning of forgiveness, realizing that it couldn't have happened any differently, and I have the opportunity to do differently now.
That's correct.
Yeah, and that's the difference between kind of like
said.
Running away from it and facing it. You know
that's
what I mean?
Right.
Like that's where the... I think that's the difference between how coping mechanisms can be a little bit on the negative side whenever you decide to, oh, well, that was bad last time. It's automatically going to be bad this time. How did I deal with it then?
Right.
Netflix, covers, Haagen-Dazs, right. Oreos.
Right.
You know?
Quit telling my secrets.
I'm sorry. Sorry. That was private.
Going surfing.
Going surfing. There you go.
So, or sailing.
Yeah. Right. We have, there's a plethora of things. As long as we're conscious about doing them.
Right. So we keep busy and keep distracted. And what is distracted, right? We disassociate. It's a very effective tool.
Definitely.
We disassociate from that problem that we perceived was so bad. But then when we – so disassociation, denial, moving away, fight or flight.
Distraction.
What if those aren't necessarily bad coping mechanisms, but they really don't serve us to create the positive? So if we let go that this concept that those coping mechanisms were bad and forgive those, right, mm-hmm. and say that's okay. We just like you said, Pete, that when at that moment we were doing the best that we could. So coping mechanisms actually can serve very good, but we don't want to keep doing them because that keeps us locked in that same old pattern. And we never get to break out and then come out of our shell and create new things that we like in life.
Yeah.
And that stifles us as parents and maybe childcare providers too. If we're stuck in a pattern, we might show the kids that pattern too, that this is the way to live and this is the way to deal with problems that we don't really want to deal with.
Yeah, that was actually something that Pete and I were talking about earlier today about we call that like the shadow figure, like that shadow. What was it? The shadow
personality.
The shadow personality. Yeah.
The dark side of
the dark side.
What we don't want to deal with.
You don't. Well, you just can't sweep that under the rug. Like that coping mechanism that doesn't serve you.
Right.
You don't just put it under the rug and be like, "Well, it's out of sight, out of mind. I don't have to deal with any more, so I overcame it." So you have to embrace it.
Yeah, because a lot of times
Pete was talking about that earlier.
When we sweep things under the rug, we're not really hiding it or displacing it. We are displacing it from our conscious awareness, but we are not displacing it from our bodies and our physical beings, and it does build up. And
because eventually you're going to move that rug. You're going to move to another house.
Well, and sometimes that rug can get so big and build up in the body, in the physical body, that we start manifesting physical symptoms.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then we don't know where it came from. It might have come from these thoughts that are built up and we were trying to cope with, or emotions that were overwhelming.
Yeah. And I am working on finding another source of detachment than disassociation.
Awesome.
To take pause. And I find it not so coincidental that I walk in today to the podcast and meet one of the owners of Specialty Produce who, to disconnect, to detach from that, set up a podcasting booth so he could be creative.
Yes.
As a break. And creativity is where innovation and creation and answering those questions that we don't know to walk away from, get creative and come back to it with fresh eyes. So I just find that beautiful that I walked into that situation
it's
today.
It's beautiful to notice. It's beautiful to notice how we can take, instead of coping and dealing or pushing through the day, even a busy day, what we can do is notice to take a moment, to take a break, restructure our environment, bring in maybe that little bit of that right brain activity, right, and move into that creative aspect and move a little bit out of the logical mind or the ego mind that we have to push through, that we have to get, we have deadlines, we have to get all this stuff done. Exactly, that is one very good way, and that's what we talk about instead of coping. I had a cute little six-year-old come in, and his mom emailed me, and he had special issues related to autism and other things. And what happened was she wrote me an email and she said, "Well, I'd like you to teach him coping mechanisms of how to deal with his difficulty relating to friends and social environments." And I said, "That's so wonderful, but we're all done with coping. What we're going to do is to give him tools and strategies to move forward in his life." So he came in with his mom. And he lifted his arms, his little six-year-old body came in, lifted his arms high to the sky with a victory sign and said, "I'm here to learn tools and strategies." And I said, "That's wonderful. Let's get started." So that's one that you just noticed was a great tool and strategy that he could do to come in and create something new for his afternoon. Was to get a repurpose, a reperception, a new perception of the ways of gathering in to his, because quite frankly, he probably will go this afternoon and be even that much more efficient when he's recentered and regrounded himself.
Yeah.
Dang, I love it.
An angel just got its wings.
And a child just got its
conscious.
Yes. So yes.
Was that an aha ding? Can we get to use that for the aha moments now?
Yes,
like bang.
Let's do it. Exactly. So that is one strategy. Another way to look at it. So let's go back to your ache a little bit in your heart, Travis.
My achy breaky heart.
Are you aching?
So when we ache or when we have a pain or when we do different things. What happens is that's a resistance. That's something that we are not wanting to or feeling it's safe to uncover, to notice what's aching. So instead, just all the things we talked about so far, instead, you take a moment, close your eyes, take a deep breath. Anyone else listening to this podcast, if you have an achy part in your body, take a moment, breathe, and say two words that are super simple. It's not 3 years of psychotherapy, I promise.
That's more than two words.
I know, isn't it? Okay, so here's the two words.
Oh.
I open. So, Travis, you get to say, and you can say out loud with everyone else so that they get an idea. I open to my unconscious.
I open to my unconscious.
I think feelings. I open to my unconscious feelings.
I open to my unconscious feelings.
About what's creating the achy heart.
About what's creating this achy heart.
And tune in. What does your heart say? So the really neat thing here is come out of your mind. Your mind does not need to figure it out. Your achy heart will answer for you.
It's so funny you say that because I was like, that was just it. That was what we talked about at the very beginning, the difference between listening to your thoughts and listening to your heart.
Yes.
And I couldn't think of an answer to that, but then I realized that's not an answer for me to say.
That's correct.
And it's in here. I got
okay.
it.
Okay. So go in there. Just share with us. You don't have to share the whole story. I just want to hear the feeling. What feeling does that achiness represent?
It's creativity, for sure.
It's creativity. So
creativity blockage.
Okay. Yeah. So lack of creativity. So what feeling? So that's a thought. That's a beautiful one. What feeling does that create for your achy heart? What's making it ache?
Sadness.
Sadness. That's awesome. So what does sadness mean? It means we believe we can't have what we think we want to have. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Yeah.
So now, what have you just done?
I've released that.
Well, yeah, you can release it, but what have you just done? You've acknowledged.
Defined it.
You acknowledged it.
Accepted. Aware. Yes. I'm aware of it now.
You're aware of it now. Yay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yes, it'll take a little process for you to work through the day, but you gained access.
That's pretty cool.
Isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's a very, like, we...
And what did that take? I think that took 1 minute and 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not 3 years of therapy to access your unconscious thoughts and feelings.
Now, am I going to have to pay you, like, $3,000
yeah.
for that?
Yeah, okay.
So it's not 3 years of therapy, but it is the same price for a technology. No, and that was something that you can absolutely do on your own.
You can, like, and what can we do? We can teach the kids that. If they can speak words... They can do that. We have to comfort them and help nurture them, right? And teach them to nurture themselves. Another friend of mine has an 8-year-old daughter, and she's actually learning how to hug herself and give herself a big hug when she has sadness. So can you give your heart and your body a big hug?
I'm hugging right now.
There you go.
So squishy.
That's one thing that our society doesn't do so well. We haven't learned to teach the kids and ourselves how to hug ourselves. We go outside of ourselves to seek nurturing, like that really good food or that good glass of wine, or for the kids, the candy bar at the grocery store. You know, or all those kinds of things. We go outside of ourselves to search for comfort. And I think that's great. Our physical world is amazing, and we were designed to be here to experience joy and excitement through these outside experiences.
So this is where you can look back on that. That just answered the question that we ended our last podcast on, is where is your happiness?
Yes.
Where do you put your happiness in?
Yes.
Is it your self-hug, or is it that chocolate bar at the
grocery store?
Can you imagine? I'm going to get so good at self-hugging.
Well, thank you. Please do.
Yeah.
Because as everybody does it as a daily practice, every time you're having an uncomfortable thought, when you nurture yourself before you go to access and open, say I open to whatever it is, right? When you hug yourself or nurture yourself, you're going to actually calm those feelings down. Did you see how much easier it was to access that sadness in mm-hmm. your heart? Okay, the sadness for lack of creativity. And I'm going to go a little bit deeper for all the grown-ups listening to the show.
Dun, dun, dun.
Is What creates the lack of creativity in your heart? Is it a judgment about yourself?
Oh, big time.
Okay.
I should. Right. It's what we call the I shouldn't all over ourselves.
Okay, so who creates that? What part of our brain creates shoulda, woulda, coulda?
Mom.
Always.
No. No. My mother.
Okay.
No, no, that's
okay,
us.
Okay, what happened to you? So that sadness part.
We don't have enough time. He said he only had 100 hours of taping.
Maybe that's the 3 years of psychotherapy.
Yes. No. Right. No.
I got to go.
Okay. Here's a simple answer. That part of you that experienced sadness accidentally did blame mom. So remember, when you're blaming, what happened? That part believes, that part of you, not the whole of you, because you've got wise parts too, just like everybody else. But that part of you believed that mom was the source of that sadness, for example.
That is an example.
I know.
I released her from all blame years ago.
There you go.
And that was the sucky part, because then I had to like look in the mirror and be like, well, you released her, so now it's all on you.
Right.
But, which has helped growth.
But do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So sometimes even those achy parts, even if we have increased consciousness about that, may be tied to that specific thing too. So don't deny it. Take a look at it, because it might be some residual pieces there that need releasing too about mom.
Nope.
No. All right, cool.
No, seriously, that was the little laugh factor.
Awesome.
It's the cool thing about that is about really tuning into who holds my happiness and who
right.
I can't blame anybody anymore.
Right.
Which again we talked about before, which is like it's an amazing feeling, but
yes.
also a little bit like frustrating at the same time that I don't have anybody else to blame but me.
Yes.
But that just means that I have every control over my thoughts, feelings, and actions. And it's not the people, places, and things that I was able to give that power to for so many years.
Yeah.
I would like to add that the beautiful part of that exercise that I just witnessed between you two was that it's not this deep digging thing.
Mm-mm.
I mean, you
right.
may have said mom jokingly.
Yeah.
But that being the impulse means that there's something there.
Yeah.
To go after.
Yeah.
So, and I applied that to myself of thinking that I joke about things or that things instantly come up that I dismiss all the time because, oh no, that can't be it. I want to over process it all versus that first.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that's the difference between over analyzing as well when someone comes across as saying something that's just a joke.
The cool thing though is wait just a second, Travis. What might be really cool here is it was tied to lack of creativity. So there might be a younger part of you that tied, because our brains are like a big matrix, right? When we look in there and on those modern TV shows, how they have the little brain cells and they're connected to different dendrites and they're and it's, you know, all this energy is traveling throughout our brain. You might have a teeny bit of a connection to lack of creativity from maybe what mom said. And remember, not what necessarily mom said, but the perception of little Travis and how mom said it might be affected. And that's what we were talking about too. How do we help parents connect to kids? So whenever you're a parent, for example, and so we'll go out a little bit from your story, Travis, but we'll do an example of, let's say you're a mom and you've got a child that's 3 or 4 at home and they're drawing and they draw on the kitchen floor, and the kitchen floor is a pergo wood floor. And that crayon exited the paper and went all over the floor. Now guess how hard it is to pick crayons up, you know, scribbled crayon on the floor of a pergo floor. Not so easy, right? So mom may come out of her idea that little Travis or any little person was creating on the paper and drawing, but they overdrew. So mom got upset because in her mind, her day is very busy. She's got a lot of things to do, and now she's got to clean the floor too. So what happened was she accidentally went into, now I got to clean the floor, and the creativity about Travis's, I'm just going to use you an example.
Travis, why not?
Travis's
paper. Let's keep it going.
Travis's paper. Then from Travis's perspective, he's not creative anymore because he ended up drawing on the kitchen floor as an example. Do you see what I mean? So that's what can be connected to, and we can carry those connections throughout our whole entire, even up to adult lives. So that part, it's okay. Pete was right. Sometimes when we even jokingly...
Okay,
thank
you.
Spontaneously uh-huh. come up. Those things can be connected. And that's okay, too. So what we do is we go, it's okay. Mom was doing the best she could at the time that she could. And she never meant that Travis wasn't... I'm going to use you again as an example.
Why not?
That Travis was not... It wasn't that he wasn't being creative. He was being super creative and amazing. Sound good?
Oh, sounds wonderful.
Okay. So does everyone get an idea of how we can access some of those uncomfortable, unconscious thoughts and feelings and how we can work
yes.
through those? Awesome.
Yes, and it all starts with not specifically an ache, but that lower vibrating emotion.
Right. Something that we're uncomfortable with, something, whether it's physical pain, achy pains, or an achy heart, or, you know, metaphorically an achy heart, or an actual physical achy heart, or brain, or back, or knee, or ankle. Yeah, any kind of place.
I love it.
Yeah. And so when we access our unconscious thoughts and we can work through them, where does that lead us to?
Growth.
Okay. And what does growth do? What does growth do, Travis?
Makes you grow.
Yeah, makes you grow.
It's a propelling forward momentum.
Yes.
Propelling forward momentum.
And what do you receive when you're doing that?
I want to say joy, but I don't know if that's the right answer.
I think that's the right answer, right? You receive what it is you'd like to create, right? So, Travis, to bring this to a close instead of a dead-end loop here, let's bring this to a close. What would you like to create after accessing that achiness and that sadness? Because you knew you created the sadness, and you could let it go and release it. What would you like to replace that with, since you are the creator of your feelings?
Joy.
Joy?
Yeah.
Okay. How about some medium ones? Let's climb that ladder to joy. Like courage. Like enthusiasm, like
happy.
What else? Trust that you can.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
And create release.
Right. Okay. So, what would you like to create that you felt that you had lack in?
I was unaware I was lacking until I came here. So hold on. I would like to create creativity today, and that's what I'm going to do. And
awesome.
I'm going to disconnect from people, places, and things to be able to do that.
Awesome. So maybe meditation? Is that what you're
talking
about?
Yeah, in a sense.
Okay.
Sure.
Fabulous. Okay.
Sure.
And then is that going to make a creative space for you?
That's the plan.
Wow.
Absolutely.
So you're not only going to create something that you would like to create, but you're going to create a space to create that.
That's a lot of creating.
Yes, it is.
Every moment is creating.
And I really love that. And who's in charge of that?
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
Sure.
Yeah. Nobody else. Yeah.
Not
so that's called freedom. Freedom of expression. And that's what we're bringing here to Center for Conscious Kids is freedom of expression. And we're bringing in providers, schools, events, programs to help children create a platform in which you explain it so well, Travis, that you're going to go create a space to be creative. So we're exemplifying on this website places where parents can go find the spaces in which their children can create and have a freedom of expression. Thank you, Travis, for letting us support you and understanding.
You are so welcome.
How to move through that part.
No problem. That's
thank
what I'm
you,
here
Travis.
For.
Yeah. Well, thank you all for listening to our podcast today. We really appreciate you participating. Please go on our website and sign up for our newsletters for activities that we would like to share with you. Also, down further on the bottom, we have a refer a provider. Right under where it says takes a village, we want to recommend. You can recommend a provider. You can recommend an event. You can recommend anywhere that you see in your life as parents, care providers, and other people in the community taking care of children, that those who provide spaces to promote creativity in children and to promote creativity in their health, creativity in their learning, creativity in their eating, their experiencing and relating to others, all those kinds of spaces, we would love to have that recommendation so that we can give them a call, check them out, and have them listed so other families can experience what a great experience you had with them. Well, thank you, and this is Center for Conscious Kids. And we'll say goodbye. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.